फ्रेंड्स, द संस्कृत श्लोक वॉज स्पोकन ऑफ इन द प्रिलिमिनरी रिमार्क्स फ्रॉम द सेकंड चैप्टर ऑफ द गीता. इट इज इन द भगवद गीता पेज 19 एंड गिव्स यू वन ऑफ द फंडामेंटल प्रोफाउंड स्टेटमेंट्स in the Gita. So second Gita gives you two fundamental Mahavakyas. You get the point. This is one of them. He who attended to the inclinations of the senses in them as a concern. Our senses are there, belong to the physical body. Our senses draw out automatically towards the object of senses. We receive the impressions. They are carried on to the brain. They are coordinated by the cerebral cortex of the physical brain in the physical body. And then they are conjoined and united to give an impression of that object. When we are concerned, from this concern is created desire. We want to desire an object because it is pleasurable. We want to avoid the object because it is impression. We are caught up in the opposite poles of human emotions. Desire and aversion. Attachment and detachment. You get the point? From desire arises passion. From passion arises anger. If you do not get anything we want to acquire kahuk and kruk. We become angry. From anger, there is confusion of mind, intellect. Intellect and emotions go hand in hand in our appreciation of the external universe. Mind you, health is of the total man. And the body is 1/7 of the iceberg, tip of the iceberg. The 6/7 of man is hidden. Have you observed it? We talk of health. And Buddha says, health is the best of, greatest of gifts. Today, my God, we are born from birth to death with illness. Congenital blindness. Congenital cancers in the newborn babies. You get the point. A heap of diseases. Terrible. In ancient times, the 17th century or the 16th century, there was a plague. And the whole humanity was wiped off. In the 7th century, 17th century or so, there was an epidemic of influenza. And influenza related to the sunspots. On this influenza, when it affects a man, the oxygen in the atmosphere gets converted into ozone, O2 to O3. And when it's converted from ozone to O3, it's a heavier element in nature, which is fatal for the lungs in percentage of more than 1. And the whole mass that precipitates on the lungs and the man is wiped out by influenza pneumonia. A little in the next century, we have an epidemic of gonorrhea. We are later on with epidemic of syphilis. And in the 20th and the 21st century, my God, we have a pandemic of cancer, of autoimmune diseases, which doctors call, all relating to the physical body. And God says, health is the best of gifts. And what we are made of it? We are able to understand who we are first. Who am I? And health belongs to my personal man. And there is an article in the old issues of the Theosophical Movement, health for the whole man. And the whole man is personal man, body, life energy, prana or jiva, astral body, linga sarira, which is invisible, yama and you. What is visible is 1/7 of the total man. We have the lower mind, We have the desire nature, tama, and we have the thinking principle, manas, higher manas. Then we have got the discriminating principle, buddhi. And then we have the divine spirit, atman. Health pertains to the whole. Which whole? The personal man. Atma, buddhi, is a divine spark. It has nothing to do with the physical body, assumes the physical body for the purposes of evolution of the soul and emancipation from matter. Whole of the universe, animate and animate, is Patanjali Yoga Sutras, exists for the sake of evolution, emancipation of the soul from the trammels of matter. From the divine, we have come into the human form, and from the human form, we evolve further and further, acquiring consciousness, then self-consciousness, and then fully divine self-conscious being embodying all the powers of the human spirit, Atman. And this Atman is a spark of the Paramatma in the universe, and therefore all of us are united into one brotherhood, universal brotherhood of beings, united by invisible threads of electromagnetic affinity and consubstantiality. Therefore, what I do, what I think, what I desire, what I feel, what I generate at these three levels, thought, feeling, desire, complex, makes me what I am today. Diseases are the products of the mind, the thought. Thoughts are the seeds of karma. And there are those beings, lives, points of nascent energy, sentient energy, which carry our karma across. Thoughts are the seeds of karma. Elementals are the seeds. Carriers of karma, the seeds are. What I affect affects the whole universe, affects every one being in the universe. What other human beings are doing affects me. Action, reaction, interaction goes on and on within the web of human destiny. It's the mind that makes up a man, it's the mind that creates, it's the mind that can destroy. World wars have been fought. Mahatmas, sages, they were down the pages of human history, down the corridor of time. They have come and they have gone. But man remains a helpless, profitless being with diseases of such magnitude that baffles the human mind. With progress of technology, the diseases are expanding. Why? Life is indeed a paradox. Medical books are becoming heavier and heavier. Diseases caused by drugs and drinks and faulty style of living is the fundamental cause of these diseases. We are caught up in the web of the material desires and passions. We are infinite. There is an article in the issue of the journal on new brands and new, what is the title of that article? New fashions, new dresses, new soaps, new insane desire for the new things, latest discoveries, latest inventions at the horizontal level. What about the vertical level of the hidden man? Where is he? What are we doing with it? We are the outward products of our thinking, thoughts. When not in line with the universal health is a disturbed harmony between the various constituents of man, and at the same time, health is disharmony, this imbalance between man and the environment of which he forms an integral part. Disease is ill at ease, is the opposite. Disequilibrium, imbalance. Imbalance between man himself, between his own constituents. We think one, we act in another way. Disharmony. defective operation and application of the principle of sila, which is the key of harmony in thought and act, the key that counterbalances the cause and the effect and leaves no further room for karmic action. Remember, don't be a hypocrite. You are sowing the seeds of disease for the future. Any departure from the source of life, the divine within, you are going away from the root of life. You are sowing the seeds of future diseases for this incarnation or subsequent incarnations. Thoughts are things, entities, and they affect others for good or ill according to the consciousness and the quality of consciousness and according to the intensity of the thought generated. Whether it is thought, whether it is feeling, emotions, whether it is desire nature, passional, personal, motivation. Remember, purity is the best prophylaxis against diseases. Purity in thought, word, deed, at the same time purity in motivation, desire nature, generation of our whole being to embrace the universe in goodwill and harmony. This harmony is disease. Don't forget. Therefore, Mr. Judge says, disease is no more than a sin of separateness. Separateness of a being from the source of being. Separateness of a unit of life from the source of life. This is philosophical. Other causes of disease on a physical plane, the mental plane are there. And there are a host of diseases which are there. But this is most important. That desire, emotions, confusion of the mind, delusions, loss of memory, loss of discrimination, loss of everything. And who is sick? Not the spiritual pole of the human being. Atma, Buddhi, Manas. He is not sick. Higher Manas. Is the lower mind going out, being captivated by desire nature, using senses as an instrument, getting the information of the object universe outside. That has to be controlled. That is why the Lord says in the Light of Asia, Basar Atin Anand, what does He say? No disease springs, what sorrow springs not if not from desire. Desire, kama, for personal things, for personal selfish purpose. You have to be unselfish and later on selfless before you can be free from diseases. It is selfishness which is the one prime cause of all sin, sorrow, suffering. If you suppress selfishness even to a certain extent, you are paving the road for the divine to penetrate the corpus, the physical body, through the various seeds of the soul, so that man becomes like unto a higher being, free from disease. He died of old age. Formerly we used to say there are so many people who die more than 100 years sometimes. And cause of death, old age. Now you cannot say the cause of death as old age. Huh? They will be at your doors and they will say what is the cause? Fundamental cause, contributory cause, immediate cause, remote cause. It is Aristotle who says when force the causes, the level of causation, the essential cause, efficient cause, material cause, formal cause, and the final product. So spirit and matter, they unite, and what we are, Purusha and Prakriti. You have to go into this to understand what are diseases and why they spring from. They spring from dissociation of man from the divine being within him. It's a fracture of the lower quaternary and the higher trinity. And we say it is schizophrenia. We say it is paranoid, delusion, all that thing. The whole of humanity is suffering from sickness. That sickness that springs from not understanding the nature of human being. WHO Health Organization defines health as a state of complete physical, mental and social well-being, and not merely absence of disease or infirmity. Social well-being. Total health of a personal man. Atma, buddhi, manas are not sick. We are that in our nature, but we have lost the memory of it. We have to regain that memory through conscious self-exertion and self-effort throughout the series of reincarnations. You get the point? Till we reach that status, nature and dignity when we are free from man. An adept is free from disease. He is happy. Possessing nothing, he possesses everything. Because he has become that which we are in our internal nature. Now, our life is such that from the cradle to the grave, we are obsessed with diseases. And we care for the physical man, physical body. Everything is required. Body is an object of exclusive care for too many people, see in our reading, who make it their God because they have completely identified themselves with it, meaning only what I am. I am my body. They identify with the body and therefore they are exclusively attached to the body. And the body is a series of lives, some sentient points of energy, prana, life energy, vital force, vital animating force, which unites all this into an integral whole for the body balance, body equilibrium, body ecology, economy, what is called in medical terms as homeostasis by Alfred Cannon and internal milieu by Claude Berner. These are scientific terminologies. History of medicine is a fascinating study for students of medicine, of course. But if you see philosophically, you'll find that there was a point in time when there were very few diseases in Satya Yoga. We are now in Kala Yoga. Why this? Why in Satya Yoga, gods walk with human beings on earth? Today we don't find God walking with us in earth. We are not even aware that there is something like God. We fight amongst ourselves, religious animosities and all that. We are diseased mentally. Whole of humanity is diseased. How have we to do it? The only palliative is altruism. Accept whatever it is that flow to you, use all the materials, various systems of the art of healing to make whole which is separated. You get the point? To make whole. Man is, there is a book by Alexis Carrel, Dr. Alexis Carrel, Man the Unknown. Man the Unknown by Dr. Alexis Carrel. That book tells you that the unknown man is more than the known man. And how we have to care for the whole long, long before modern people came. The physicians, said Plato, it is a strange thing of our day that physicians treat the body but not the soul. 500 years before Christ, Plato said this. That if you want to treat the disease, you must treat the man behind the disease first. Disease will automatically is on its way out. Allow it to flow out. Don't use metaphysical healing for physical diseases. Then you are replanting diseases for future use. There are a lot of conditions are there. Look now. Look our number two in our pamphlet. Body is like Mother Earth. It is made up of number of lives, which were, each of these lives is a sensitive point. One of the mysteries of physical life is hidden among these lives. Their action is forced by the life energy, prana. We breathe, inspiration, expiration is one of the physiological mechanisms. But what makes this breathing in and out? What makes the heart contract and expand? Contract and expand. What makes the body come out of the mother's womb at the 9th month of pregnancy? The astral heart, the akashic heart, which makes the air. And of course our physiologists say any other mechanism pertaining to the physical body. We are joined by these lives, by these elementals which are one of the kings of nature below the mineral. And life evolves from the simple to the complex, from unicellular organisms to these multicellular organisms, till we reach the frame of human body. There are other bodies. Life existed before the mineral kingdoms, and life will exist even after that. Otherwise, how will the body decompose? Yeah, unless there is life in the decomposed body. Maggots come out, no? So there is life after death, and there is life before birth. So life and death embrace each other from the cradle to the grave, from the womb to the tomb. You get the point? Life ever is. I ever am. I periodically exist as Mr. X and Mr. Y. That periodical time is there, during which we have to generate cause, thought, feeling, desire, so that we unite ourselves with a higher nature. Then diseases cannot flow because we have not cause. And two principal causes of disease, Madame Blavatsky states, is look, a little below. Our bodies are like gardens to which our wills are gardeners. Either to have it sterile with idiot idleness or manure with industry. Shakespeare, Othello. Every man is a builder of his temple called the body. Body is the temple of the Holy Ghost in the Christian terminology. Spirit in man. Necessary vehicle. You have to tame it. You have to use it. You have to clean it. It cleans the mind and also cleans the soul. All humanists say, purify your pranic currents. Purify your astral currents. Because they are all influenced one with the other. We are never alone. Remember, you are silent. You are not speaking anything. But you are thinking. Your thought waves, feeling waves, immediately go. Coalesce with the elemental and become an entity to influence others for good or bad. Such is the responsibility of mind, man the thinker, manas the thinker. Our responsibility is that we do not influence others for bad but for good always and all the time, while ourselves suffering as a result of our past thoughts, words and deeds, which makes us body suffer for out of ignorance. Therefore, ignorance is the worst thing, Lord Buddha in the Dhammapada. Ignorance is the worst thing. And recently I read in an article in the Theosophical Movement, ignorance is like the cataract in the eye. I don't know whether Sai Baba is written somewhere in any, I don't know from where this quotation was brought. Cataract of the eye. Remove the cataract and you see. So remove ignorance and you see life. Knowledge, wisdom is inherent, innate, immanent in the upper pole of the human entity, Atma Buddhi Manas. Wisdom is not importation from outside. Knowledge is. But wisdom is inherent. And it has to be unfolded. It is not available to us because we are engaged in the lower quaternary. Come out of it. Dissociate the mind, that is the intellect, that is the lower manas, from the tentacles of the karmic desire, the fourth principle, which is passional, selfish, egoistic. Then this lower manas, with the child of the higher manas, becomes the vehicle of the highest mental faculties. And then it becomes porous to divine influx from above. Our higher manas, higher mind, which is unselfish, not egoistic, which is altruistic, hesitant egoistic, opens up to the influx from above and build a bridge bit by bit. That is called the antaskaran. Antakaran aapne kahi jate. This antakaran has to build up through conscious will and effort of good thoughts, good words, good deeds, good motivation. That's the important thing. You are judged not by your deeds or speech or thought, but by the motive. Is it pure? Clean heart, clear conscience, altruistic endeavors, sincerity, unselfishness of purpose, indomitable will and determination, moral power. All true wisdom of spiritual kind, Gita, true wisdom of a spiritual kind. Freedom from this, freedom from injury, pride, hypocrisy, all those things are there. The most important thing is self-identifying attachment. Freedom from self-attached and identifying attachment to things, objects and form. Forms are necessary, but beyond the form is the spirit that evolves it. That spirit has to be catered to. And then wisdom becomes available because our brain of the physical brain is porous to the divine influx through purity in consciousness. That is the most important thing. Half, if not two-thirds of our ailings and diseases are the fruits of our manifestation, imagination and fears. Today we are all fearing, we are feeling insecure. We are insecure. China is rising, giant. Asia is awakening. There are tsunamis on American continent. Terrible things are happening in Europe and America. We are feeling insecure. Our borders are being threatened. Imagination. So fears and imaginations, two-thirds of our ailings are due to this. Destroy the latter, become fearless. Gita says fearlessness is the one divine quality, first quality, fearlessness. We don't know what to do, somebody who is planning for me and all that thing. To become fearless is the first quality which is very difficult to develop. It can be realized through conscious effort. Another man to the former, imagination. Creative imagination is wanted, not false fancy. Fancy and fantasy is delusion. You get the point. Aberration of thought, whereas creative imagination is a potency which is of its own. It is the discrimination of buddhi combined with higher manas. And buddhi and manas, when they are conjoined, one becomes an immortal being. Man is triune. The universe nature is triune. The lower two, physical and the astral. And the lower third is the immortal spirit. When the lower two are conquered, then man becomes that immortal spirit which he is in his real nature. We die. Mortal man dies. The spiritual man does not die. He goes to post-mortem state of Devatman and comes back again after fulfillment of his unfulfilled desires to carry on the thread of life across the gap of death. No such thing as death at all, a state of transition. There is a book by Manu Kothari and Lopa Mehta. Death and dying. Death and dying. And he analyzes what the man at the bedside of the dying man experiences. We have a wonderful statement in the Sutta Doctrine, quoted by Carlyle and Novalis, that the human body is the greatest of all mystery. Human frame is the most perfected frame that can reflect the divine within in its full potential. Animals cannot. Main difference between the two is that man is endowed with self-consciousness, perception of the objective universe and a perception of the subjective universe. I can analyze my thoughts. I can analyze my feelings. I can feel guilty if I have done something wrong. My conscience bites me. Conscience, the oracle of God by Byron, is the nearest link to the thread of Atma that connects all of us into one whole. Remember, divinity, humanity is the emanation from the divine on its return path. So we are all joined together. We are not separate, that's the seal of separateness. Thou art heresy of separateness that means us from the rest. Any bad thought, bad feeling, bad desire, we are sowing the seeds of cancer in the future. Don't forget. Mind and body are connected. They are not separated. Alexis Carrel says, thoughts can produce organic changes in the human body, pathology, tumors, inflammation, infectious diseases, and God knows what. They all names and labels. On this plane, they are applicable. On the higher plane, there is no need. But for us, because we have gone too far away from the divine, that we just can't think at all of all these things, and we rush to doctors. Very good, go there. Then there are problems. This system and that system. All systems which exist have a place in the scheme of nature. They are all good and they all have their defects. Let the patient seek the physician, and we shall tell you later what are the qualities of the physician required by ancients, and what are the qualities of the physicians today existing in the modern 21st century. Destroy the latter and give another man to the former and make him do the rest. Imagination acts on faith, so Shraddha. Many people are cured by Shraddha, not by drugs and drinks. You bless the patient. With a true heart, you are helping him in the healing process. A doctor is merely an instrument. He is a participating agent in the process of healing, which occurs by itself. Mr. Crosby says, the family philosopher, left to itself, man has his own immunizing power. So immunity is inherent and built in the human system itself, because man has to protect himself, man has to defend himself against forces inimical to life, man has to produce the human species. So we have to take part in all these processes to become whole and whole. Animals procreate during season. Man is indulging in sexual promiscuity any season or no season, in spite of having free will, thought and self-consciousness. We have become slaves to karma. And karma is the fourth principle in man, and the fourth round of human existence today is the most powerful agent which we have to conquer. Karma has power over our manas and buddhi, Gita. You have to control your desires, your passions, so that, controlling that, Dahaya has the opportunity to reveal its identity. Today we are ignorant because we are not thinking about it, we are not feeling about it, but once you become aware of it, you will see how you can turn the corner. So imagination and faith, Both are the draftsmen who prepare the sketches for the will to engrave and wield the neutral force. If neither good nor bad, it is driven by desire nature or the higher spiritual nature. Choose for yourself, the choice is yours. This is the secret of disease and recovery. Vigilance. There is a chapter on Dhammapada, vigilance. Every moment of our waking life, during sleep we can't do anything. But every moment of waking life, see your inner man, analyze yourself, what you are doing in work situation, in family situation, in social situation, and see how you are affecting others for good or bad. What comes to us is a progeny of our former thoughts, deeds. But when others suffer, you have to hold up the helping hand. And don't be self-righteous. Manas, mind, is the container of all the efficient causes of our circumstances and our inherent character. They are the seeds which sprout again and again as physical diseases. External causes are there, but the internal causes are more potent. You watch your internal nature. Diseases are the gross manifestations showing themselves on their way out of nature so that we may be purified. So purify yourself, purify your desires, purify your thinking, cleanse your body, wash thyself. Align yourself with our higher, noble thoughts, unselfish deeds, noble feelings, the good of others, and automatically good will come back to you under karma. To arrest them through thought, ignorantly directed, mental healing, hypnotism, or by any force artificial means, is to throw them back into their cause and replant them in their mental place. Disease, therefore, is vitiated prana. One line. Vitiated prana. Therefore, you have to make your prana clean. But prana is influenced by our thoughts and feelings. Prana is inherent aspect of jiva. Breathing, out breathing are only the external processes. Pranayama, be careful. Theosophy does not advocate pranayama at all. It advocates what we call the development of will, that you take care of prana. Will prayer. Not a prayer to the external extra-cosmic God, but that will prayer that you will things and it happens. That is for future to develop that will which is in harmony with the universal will of nature, the general will of nature. If you are in harmony, it spells disaster for the human being. It was Victor Hugo, Les Miserables, by Victor Hugo. He said, there are three great functionaries of the state. The priest, the teacher, priest, physician of the soul. The teacher, physician of the mind. The doctor, physician of the body. We have combined the three functions. Now, friends, questions, we have 8 minutes. Yes. There are so many things, we are not able to do it, but if it comes in the question and answer, we can see what we can do.
In today's world, the tension cannot be avoided despite we want, desperately want.
So?
So then what is the solution, what is the answer?
We have to try to reduce those tensions by your self-effort. I mean, no one else can do for you. Worries and anxiety spring from where? Go to the source of anxiety. Go to the source of fears. Try to adjust. Tensions come from where? They don't come from the air. physical stress, mental stress, emotional stress. These are three stress factors. And these anxieties have to be curbed. Anxieties, worries, these have to be controlled. And there is that which is in us which can help us to control our lower natures, lower desires, lower worries and anxieties. Ask for help to a good psychiatrist. The psychiatrist will give you drugs. Psychologists will help you. There is a world of people in the psychology who tries to understand your nature, your anxieties, and tries to bring the harmony in the family. Family is a unit from which you have to begin. Home first, then the universe outside. Wait a minute. Home, family is the unit. Try to unite the families together. Try to see the other's point of view, not only your own point of view. There are differences in ideologies, differences in thinking. No man is alike. You get the point. Try to bring about symbiosis. Live and let live. Don't force your thoughts on others. Don't pull out on emotions on others. Try to understand others' emotions. If the wife is shrewd, what Bernard Shaw calls, try to understand what is burning in her that makes her angry to you. Family quarrels, strife, struggles are there. Working situations, the subordinates and the bosses are there. Somebody who has come later is thrown up and you are remaining down. And then you are worrying about it. You are fretting and fuming and foaming. These are your personal ingredients we have to try and control. And try and try and try. And the self within you, Krishna, will come to your help if you turn towards him. In the New Testament we are told, lay your head on me and I shall support you. lay whatever thy sorrow, pain, suffering on my head and I shall support you. I am the refuge, the resting place, the asylum, the friend, the comforter. Krishna says, I am not saying. I am the refuge, the resting place, the asylum, the friend and the comforter. I am the enjoyer, I am the admonisher, I am the sustainer, also the Paramatma, the higher soul. So refuge is within you. For anxieties, worries, try to seek within you. Try to contemplate. We are busy in external things. We are doing, but we are not being ourselves. Few hours of silent concentration, I don't say meditation is the higher state, samadhi, but few hours of concentration daily brings you into contact with that. It is awaiting you. The divine is waiting that the child will look up to it for help and it will lift you up. Like the chicken, the brood of chickens, you know, like the hen. Appeal to your higher self and it will give answer. All great scriptures, Dhammapada, Gita, Life on the Path, Gita, Dhammapada, all the great scriptures of the world history, take what you can. They are so similar. They are so similar, you will be surprised to find the identity of metaphysics and the identity of ethics. Yes?
You explain the process of death.
Death? My God. It's a big question. At the first place, death is transition, not the finality. Death opens the way to a greater destiny. That means going back to eternity. Surprising, huh? There's the term used in Anam Lavasti. That means going back to eternity in Devaka. We are reviewing our own life. There is a memory in the dying reflect. You see, man dies, how he recalls his own life and like a cinema, the whole thing is projected before his eye. And he sees this life. And, oh, I wasted my life, he tells. Because I have been rummaging about the physical life around me, forgetting the real life within me, which is lying dormant, but is not extinct. That is not extinction of consciousness. Is the going to a larger consciousness fulfillment in Devakam, then in post-Devakamic interview, and then when we come back, as the text of the Sutratma, we have the whole memory of all our past incarnations to the inner man. But outer man is not even knowing it, not even cognizant of it. Otherwise, why should Lord Buddha call all these 500 incarnations back? It is a possibility of human evolution, which is an ever progressing thing. That is only an incident in eternity. Life is perpetual. I think our time is up. And I have said, if you want to choose your physician, these are the qualities of the physician. It will be astounding, and I will read them to you. Sir William Osler, he says there are three qualities of the physician. Humility, humanity, humor. And doctors are humorous. Many doctors are there. Because a patient's glum, you know, sad, depressed, morose, gloomy. And if you make your face gloomy and dull, you are not helping him. You are adding to him. I have three personal ideas. One, to do the day's work well and not to bother about tomorrow. The second has been to act the golden rule, the golden mean, middle path of Lord Buddha. Neither too much nor too little. Dhammapada says, no? Meditation that destroys pain is moderation in thinking, etc., etc., etc. Dying, rest, sleep, etc. Follow the golden rule as far as in me lay, towards my professional brethren and towards the patients committed to my care. And the third, to cultivate such a measure of equanimity, equal-mindedness in pain and pleasure, heat and cold, honor and dishonor, and so on. Gita. Gandhi said, it's my mother. I go to it when I'm in pain. So go to it for anxiety. But with the heart, not with the mind. The head is an obstacle. Eye doctrine, heart doctrine is what we have to cultivate. You have to cultivate that process of turning inward. We don't know. But try. We honestly say try. And something will awaken. You feel. That feeling is more important. Not the analysis of things. That is the lower intellect. Synthesis, that is, without the interposition of the intellectual apparatus, it's an apparatus, the reality is experiential. When you experience that reality within you, you will change, you will transform, metamorphose. That's how Vedics are born. We have to measure of equanimity that enable me to bear success with humility. Affection of my friends without pride. To be ready when the day of sorrow and grief comes, to meet it with courage befitting a man. To grow old age with dignity, grace and decorum. And to die with dignity, grace and decorum. That is what Sir William Osler says. And here is Robert Louis Stevenson. Ideal physician. There are men, classes of men that stand above the common herd. The soldier, the sailor, and the shepherd, not infrequently. The artist, rarely. Rarer still, clergymen, the physician almost as a rule, he is the flower of our civilization. My God. Physician is the flower of our civilization. You can contrast with the physicians of the day. And when that state of man is done with, and only to be marveled at in history, he will be thought to have shared as little as any in the defense of that period. And most notably, exhibited the virtues of the race. So virtue, please remember, virtues are important for a healthy man and a healthy body. Generosity he has, such as is possible to those who practice an art, never to those who drive a trade. Medicine is a calling, not a profession, not a business. Unfortunately, it has become today. Try with a thousand embarrassments. What are the more important? Herculean cheerfulness and courage. Cheerfulness and courage. So that he brings air and cheer into the sick room. And often enough, though not so often, as he wishes, brings healing.
Thank you very much. We are sowing for the next future.